The Giants are battling it out with the Dodgers for the NL West crown. But in the meantime, people want to know, is Chris Bryant coming back? What is this roster that has potentially a lot of turnover going to look like next year? So we get into all of that, talk about Bryant, talk about next year's roster, and some playoff talk on today's mailbag edition of the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And coming up on today's show, as I teased there in the open, we're going to be getting into some questions and answers. And yes, we're going to talk about, you know, the last 12 games and the playoff push. There are some questions about that. But also, it seems that you guys want to know about the future of this team, and specifically, what about Chris Bryant? Is he going to come back? And who else? Because there's potentially so much turnover with this roster. So we're going to get into what I think that roster is going to look like next year. Before we get into it, I just want to mention this show is now available on YouTube. So if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, whatever, that's fantastic. But also, please check us out on YouTube. We're doing these shows free on all platforms every single weekday. Anyway, jumping right into the questions, JT asks, do you think Chris Bryant will ultimately re-sign with the Giants? Is he worth a $200+ million contract? So that is a big question, and it's a question that's going to loom large as the Giants head into the offseason, which is not that far away. I mean, even if the Giants were to go on, have a magical run, win the World Series, we're talking just over a month until the offseason. So obviously our entire show and conversation and focus as fans changes when the offseason comes. And Chris Bryant's free agency is going to be a major question surrounding the San Francisco Giants. So just to summarize, Bryant this season is hitting .272. He's got a .360 on base percentage, .502 slugging, a .130 weighted runs created plus, meaning about 30% above average offense. He's been about the same, about 30% above average with the Cubs and with the Giants this year. So we've seen kind of typical Chris Bryant with the Giants. One concern I have is that he has not done very well defensively with the Giants, and this is one of the concerns I had and why I even said that Starling Marte was potentially a bigger impact rental player than Chris Bryant, and I think that's exactly what we've seen. We saw Marte with the A's. He makes a difference on the base paths, certainly. He's a plus defender and a good offensive player, so I think the A's did well in that rental move. Obviously, Bryant is a difference maker himself, but when we're talking about a $200+ million contract, personally, I don't necessarily see that with Chris Bryant because I have concerns about his defense. I don't think that he plays well defensively anywhere. We've seen him make some throwing mistakes at third base, although otherwise, I think he's been fine. I think he's fine in the outfield. Maybe not, because Baseball Savant has Chris Bryant as a first percentile outs above average defender, meaning among the very worst defensive players in the game. That being said, these defensive metrics, I think, are best taken in larger samples. That said, just watching him out there, I think there's some concern for me about him being kind of a big lumbering guy. He's 6'5", 230, And as you get into age, you know, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, what is that defense going to age like? And so I have some concerns about that. And when you're talking about a plus bat, but not so much defensive value, I start to have concerns. And so I don't think $200+ million is ultimately what he's going to get. George Springer, I think, is a pretty decent comp. And Springer with the Blue Jays, I thought he did well to get 6 years, $150 million. I think it was a little bit of an overpay by the Blue Jays, but at the end of the day, they got the player they wanted at an average annual value of $25 million a year. I think that Bryant probably ends up somewhere in line with that. And so in order to get to $200 million, it would be 8 years at $25 million a year. And I just don't see that happening for Bryant. I think that the George Springer comp is decently fair. The one difference is that Springer was a little bit older going into his free agency. He was entering his age 31 season. Bryant is going to be entering his age 30 season. So anyway, I could go on and on about this, but ultimately I do think that either he signs like a team-friendly deal with the Giants, which is questionable given that he's a Scott Boras client, or I think that the Giants have so much freed up money and there are so many talented players available in free agency that I'm going to say that he ends up, it's hard for me to say this because clearly he wants to be here. And if the player wants to be here, there's probably something that you can work out. But ultimately, given that there's so many good free agents this offseason, I think the Giants choose to spend their money elsewhere. They're also going to have to fill out an entire starting rotation pretty much in free agency or make some trades. So I'm going to say that he ends up elsewhere and the Giants make a splash with that money with another player. So coming up next, more questions and answers. We're going to talk about which players I think will come back, players who are reaching free agency. We'll talk about which players I think may choose to sign elsewhere. So all of that coming up next. But first, we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, and don't forget about playoff baseball, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, as promised, we are going to get into more questions. Hopefully, I don't take the whole segment answering one question, as I often do. We'll try to fit in some more. But Tanner asks, with lots of one-year deals, some with options and others without them, how much roster turnover do you think we'll have next season? Specifically, which players do you think will come back? Which players do you think may choose to sign elsewhere? So as I said, my kind of first hot take here is that I think that Chris Bryant may ultimately end up somewhere else, and it has a lot to do with the fact that the Giants are going to have a lot of positions that they need to fill, they're going to have a lot of money to do it, and there are some other attractive free agents out there. So just to be clear, Johnny Cueto has a club option for $22 million. That's certain to be declined. I don't think he's coming back. Kevin Gausman is straight up reaching free agency. He can't be offered the qualifying offer because he was offered it last year and you can only be offered it once in your career. Gausman, to me, is someone that I do think they're going to try to find a way to work out a deal with. He, you know, turned his career around in San Francisco. I think he's exactly the type of person they want on this team, someone who strives to get better, is open-minded to working with the coaches and wants to be the best version of himself and is a down-to-earth, humble, really good player and apparently loves it here. I mean, he seems like he's having the time of his life, and I think there's going to be strong mutual interest, and I would expect Kevin Gausman to come back, although, of course, it's not a guarantee. Buster Posey, there's, like Cueto, a $22 million club option, which I think ultimately, if they can't work out some kind of an extension, the Giants will just pick that up. They have that leverage that they can just bring him back at $22 million if they choose to do so. And I think that the type of season he's having makes him very much worth $22 million on a one-year deal. Keep in mind, there's inherent value in, as a team, bringing players in on one-year deals because there's not a lot of risk. Even if he completely flops and just severe decline sets in, it's just 1 year and then it's off the books and you can move in another direction. So I think they may try to work out an extension, but unless Buster Posey retires, for me, he's going to be coming back in 2022. Brandon Belt is a free agent. He can be offered the qualifying offer. So he is a guy that I think will get that qualifying offer if they can't work out an extension. And, you know, given that he's an older first baseman, I think he may ultimately choose to just take the qualifying offer rather than decline it, which hurts your free agency because teams have to give up a draft pick in order to sign you. But if you're the Giants and you extend him the offer and he accepts it, he just comes back. It would be for about $20 million. And if he rejects it and signs elsewhere, you get draft pick compensation. I would expect Brandon Belt to be back. He is having some of the best years of his career. This year, arguably the best year offensively of his career. And he just represents exactly what this team wants in an offensive player. And there aren't a lot of good first basemen set to reach free agency. He's probably among the best. I mean, Freddie Freeman and Anthony Rizzo, I say there aren't a lot of good ones, but that's basically it. Freeman, Rizzo, and Belt. And I don't think you can, I think Freeman ends up back with the Braves. Rizzo, I don't know. I think Belt is as good as Rizzo at this point in his career. So why not stick with the guy who you are familiar with and you know is a great fit in your clubhouse? Obviously, Crawford is back signing that extension. Longoria is signed for another season. Tommy La Stella coming back. Anthony DeSclafani and Alex Wood, I think very possible that they end up signing elsewhere. Probably Alex Wood more likely than DeSclafani to sign elsewhere. I don't know. I think there's going to be interest in bringing these guys back. They are eligible for the qualifying offer. They might offer it to Anthony DeSclafani. I don't think Alex Wood, though. And it's probably out of the kind of range for DeSclafani even. So those guys, there's going to be interest in bringing them back. But there are some intriguing names in free agency in the starting pitching department. And so it wouldn't be the end of the world if DeSclafani and or Wood end up elsewhere. The Giants would have to fill out their rotation, though. I mean, like I said, Gausman is a free agent, and you have to lock him up. Otherwise, you know, the only spot right now that's pretty much guaranteed to come back right now is Logan Webb. And so if Gausman, say he signs somewhere else, they blow him away with like $150, $200 million, and off he goes, suddenly all you've got is Logan Webb, and DeSclafani and Wood are also free agents. So that remains to be seen, but it's possible these guys could end up elsewhere. There's a club option for Wilmer Flores. Jake McGee is back. Club option for Jose Alvarez. It's very cheap. I think that they exercise that club option. Donovan Solano is going to be a free agent. I think there's probably interest in just bringing him back on a short-term, cheap deal, and then pretty much everybody else is under club control, and it'll be up to the Giants whether or not they want to tender contracts to these players like Alex Dickerson, Kurt Casale, Dominic Leone, Darren Ruff, Harleen Garcia, John Brebbia, Reyes Maranta, Austin Slater, Yastrzemski, Rogers Webb, Wade Jr., Duggar, Dubon. All those guys and others are arbitration eligible, so the Giants can keep them if they so desire. And many of them, of course, they will want to keep. And they have the flexibility to be able to say, actually, we don't want to keep you if that's the case for certain players. So moving on to the next question, Candlestick Will asks, do you see Johnny Cueto making the fourth starter spot and Wood taking the long reliever spot for the playoffs. Seems like there is one spot available for Jackson, Jose Quintana, Sammy Long, and Johnny Cueto, with Webb, Gausman, DeSclafani, Wood, McGee, Rogers, Garcia, Leon, Watson, Littell, Alvarez, and Duvall seeming like locks. So yeah, those guys you said were locks, I counted as I was doing that. I count 12. And so yeah, I would agree with you that there's probably one spot for another pitcher. And it is definitely a possibility that Cueto does not make the postseason roster, even if he's healthy. I know there's always been some talk like he's a big game pitcher, and even at this stage in his career, that he would somehow be like a difference making pitcher in the playoffs. I don't really see it that way. If you just look at his postseason ERA in his career, it's actually not great. So that argument doesn't hold a lot of, doesn't have a lot of weight to me. And he's just not been the Giants' best pitcher. So no, I wouldn't see Cueto taking a spot over Alex Wood. I think Alex Wood would more likely be your number four starter in the playoffs. And you'd also be looking at the possibility of running a bullpen game one turn through the rotation in the postseason. I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world. It's also possible that they go with fewer pitchers in the playoffs. They might go with 12 pitchers, 14 position players. That's definitely a possibility to give themselves optimal matchup ability, which is something that they would do because they would feel like they don't need that, you know, last tier pitcher. Like, they don't need a mop-up guy in the playoffs. If you're down by a bunch of runs, just throw whoever out there. I don't think, like, the idea that you need just a mop-up guy on your rotation is kind of an outdated idea, in my opinion. And so that's the way I see it. I have Wood ahead of Cueto on the depth chart if both of them are healthy. And Wood even has the advantage in health right now, although Cueto is on his way back. So coming up next, more questions and answers. But first, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or car dealership? If you know the part you want and you can have a dealership evaluate what part you need, just ask them to tell you what it is and you can buy it yourself at rockauto.com and save a bunch of money. And you can even have them install it for you. And it ends up being definitely a net win for you. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, as promised, more questions and answers here. Just want to remind everyone to check us out on YouTube. We're free on all platforms, whether it's Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever. So we also recognize there are some glitching issues happening on YouTube. Shouldn't be happening anywhere else. We are working to get those worked out. So bear with us and thank you for your patience as we have those issues worked out. So moving on with the questions, Cobert Gobert asks, rank the following from most likely to least likely as the way catcher Joey Bart ultimately departs from the San Francisco Giants organization. A, release slash DFA'd. B, free agency, major league, minor league, other league, i.e. KBO. C, trade of any form. D, retirement from baseball. So this question struck me a little bit because these are all possibilities, and we really don't know what's going to happen with Joey Bart, who entering 2020 was considered the best prospect in the organization. He's since been passed by Marco Luciano, according to pretty much every major publication. And we also saw the downside of Joey Bart when he debuted with the major league team in 2020. And so I'm going to pull up his kind of minor league numbers this season to make a point as to what I think is the most likely outcome. So in 2021, Bart has spent the entire season in AAA. He played two games at the major league level, which should tell you something. He did hit .296 with a .359 on base and .478 slugging. And although, I should say, that is just a 107 weighted runs created plus in that league, meaning only 7% above average offense. And that is because it is a lively league where, you know, the league average numbers are actually pretty good because it's a very hitter-friendly environment. So the concerns when you look at these numbers, he was striking out 29% of the time, which is high if you're talking about an offense-friendly minor league environment, only walking 7.3% of the time, and isolated power only 182, and a lot of his offense was fueled by a 399 average on balls in play, which is unsustainably high. So I continue to have some concerns about Joey Bart, just his offensive profile. And what I see when I look at those minor league numbers is a guy who's going to struggle in the way that Joey Bart struggled in the major leagues in 2020, when we're talking, you know, a sub 300 on base percentage. He had a 37% strikeout rate and just a 2.7% walk rate. Those are not good numbers, and I have concerns about his ability to best those in a meaningful way. And so at this point, given that he's still, I'm not exactly sure what his trade value is. I'm sure some teams who are desperate for catching help would definitely have some interest in acquiring Joey Bart. And maybe I'm way off base with this. Keep in mind, a big element of what the Giants are doing these days is player development. And so it is possible that they believe they can get the best out of Joey Bart, and then he becomes a star level player, which is what, you know, prospect analysts thought he could be. Definitely has the potential to be. And so the Giants may very well view him as a guy who has superstar upside, and they don't want to, you know, sell low based on his 2020 minor league performance and his, or excuse me, major league performance in 2020 and minor league performance in 2021, which is kind of lukewarm, mediocre at best, the way I see it, even though on first glance, those numbers actually look good. So therefore, to answer this question, I think the most likely scenario is a trade of any form, because I said this during this season. I think I said it last offseason. Certainly, yeah, at the trade deadline this year, I saw Joey Bart being traded as a legitimate possibility. The Giants have Buster Posey coming back for 2022. I mean, I say that. I assume they exercise the club option at the very least, and then he comes back. They have club control over Kurt Casale for next year, too. So they can just roll with the same setup they had this year. And they can hope that Patrick Bailey, who finished out the minor league season pretty strong, I don't have his numbers pulled up. I should, but I don't. But they drafted Patrick Bailey with their first round pick in 2020, a catcher. And so they may view Bailey as a better long-term player potentially than Joey Bart. Or they just like them both. I don't know. But I think that trading Joey Bart would potentially make sense for a team that has such a good catcher right now in Buster Posey, although he is getting older, and at some point you have to think about life after Posey. So it's a tough question, but I'm going with trade of any form as the most likely. I think retirement from baseball, probably the least likely. I kind of assume when you say that, that you mean like he plays his entire career with the Giants and then he's 40 years old and he hangs them up, you know, after playing a long career with the Giants organization. That's never likely for any player, especially a flawed player potentially. And so I'll rank that last. Free agency, probably the second most likely, and then a release or DFA being third most likely. And maybe I'll flip-flop those, release or DFA. If it comes to that, then I just don't see the Giants giving him all that runway where he struggles and struggles and struggles and eventually they have to DFA him. I think more likely they try to sell high at some point before they let that happen. So that's kind of the direction I'm going to go with that question. RYZ, Reese, I don't know how to quite say that, asks, does Duggar beat out Dickerson for a postseason spot? I think that's a good question, and it's certainly like a competition, I would say, between those two players. Dickerson hasn't really made a significant impact with the Giants this season. He's currently on a rehab assignment, I believe. He's certainly hurt. I'm not quite sure if he's out on a rehab assignment at this time, but I know they want to send him out on a rehab assignment before he comes back. It's a tough question. The reason I would lean towards maybe is because of the defense and base running. I think in the postseason, they're going to want to give a spot to a guy like Duggar who can be a late game defensive replacement. And he's been able to do that. When he's been on the roster, he's kind of filled that role. He's had some pinch running success. He's certainly had some late game defensive replacement success. And so I don't think they want to skip that on the postseason roster. But remember, I did say they might opt to go with 12 pitchers and 14 position players. And it might be to have, you know, for this exact type of scenario where you want to have Dickerson's bat and you want to have Duggar's speed and defense late in a game. So that's the type of thing I'm talking about when I say they want to be able to match up for any situation. Say you have a close lead late in a game, you don't want Dickerson out there. And so you want Duggar on your roster. But I think generally speaking, Dickerson does provide more offensive upside than Duggar, even though Duggar has put up some good numbers this season. There's a lot of unsustainability to it. And the more he plays, the more we see that it's not a guarantee that he's going to have offensive success. We're seeing a lot of strikeouts and also a very high average on balls in play that's unsustainable, fueling much of the offensive success. So anyway, it's a good question, and we shall find out. Hopefully they get a full series, and we can really find out how they value these players. So anyway, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about tonight's game. The Giants are in San Diego. Dodgers are in Colorado. So hopefully a Dodgers loss and a Giants win, and we'll be looking at a two-game lead tomorrow. Regardless of how it turns out, please come back tomorrow. We do these shows every single weekday, and I can't wait to be with you then. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic, and you can follow me on Twitter right here. If you're watching on YouTube, that is the Twitter handle, @BenKaspic. Anyway, I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants. We'll be right back.